is the RX Power Hour. Powerlifting, strongman, and superstar athletes. Welcome to the RX Power Hour. Here's Mike Johnston and Brian Hildebrand.
Yep, it's the same name, new voices and a new purpose. Welcome to the RX Power Hour Strength Radio, the definitive name. Strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the strength sports industry with me, Brian Hildebrand, and with my good friend, co-host, Mike Johnston in Columbus, Ohio, the American Strongman Corporation Vice President. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, feeling good, very excited for our second installment. Last week, you know, we got a lot of responses, and it was a great show. Having Holly on was a wonderful, she was a wonderful guest, and we've just had an overwhelming response to the, you know, to the information, to the insight, and, you know, just the laughs. So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, she's a funny girl. I was really, you know, for somebody, if you really logically you think about it, somebody her age, she's what, 22 years old?
And yeah, she's maybe 23 at the most, but yeah.
Yeah. She's bright. She's inquisitive. She comes across as a much older person, and I really enjoy talking to her. And we need to follow up with her and find out what's going to happen with her surgery wise with the wrist injury she suffered just before the games.
Yeah, that'll be coming up here in the next few days. So.
Yeah. So we'll have to sort out, see how things are. Anything exciting happened for you over the weekend, Mike?
No, just training, good training, getting close to the XPC meet in October. That's the qualifier for the Arnold. It's anybody that doesn't know what the XPC is, it's a coalition of a variety of the multiply associations, the APF, the USPA, the IPA, and sort of trying to bring together the best of the best at the Arnold. The promoter, Danny Daig, actually I introduced him to Bob Lormer and then later on Jim Lormer. And so they're going to have maybe WPO style back to the Arnold. You know, this will be the first year and see how it goes. And so just trying to get ready for that meet, get some training in.
And what are you looking at totaling for you?
Oh, I don't know. You know, the goal is to make it through this meet and qualify for the Arnold, which would be in March, right? So, over 2400, I think this meet, maybe 24 and a little bit of change, 2410, something like that. It'll pretty much be going into the deadlift, see what I need to qualify. So I don't know that I'll push the envelope at all, but, 24 and some change, I think is reasonable.
What's your best total so far?
2360, but that was with a really crappy bench press. That was with like a 575 bench press.
Nice. And what body weight is that?
242.
Nice. What are you weighing right now?
251, maybe. I stayed pretty close to body weight, you know, so cutting 10 pounds is not that big of a deal. You know, back when we were doing strongman, it was a 231 cut, and I still was about the same body weight, maybe even a little bit heavier. So it was had to cut down to, you know, that 105 kilogram class. That was a much rougher cut, but getting ready for a 242 cut, there's really not much to it.
What will you do differently that you're not doing now?
Well, I do a water load cut at the end of that last week. So say the meet is on a Saturday. On Monday, I'll start to drink extra water. I'll lower any complex carbs that I might be having. So I won't cut them out completely, but if I'm eating a cup of rice, I might take it down to a half, but not cut them out completely, because you really can't go in carb depleted, in my opinion, and have good energy to perform. Then get that water load going for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, sort of see where I am, because it's usually a 24-hour weigh-in. And if by chance I need to, if I'm within a couple of pounds by then, because usually the weight starts coming off a little bit at a time, then I might have a light meal on Thursday morning and drink some water up until around noon. And then I'll just stop, you know, and then get up Friday morning and hit the weigh-in, and I'm good to go. On some occasions, you know, if I'm a little bit behind, you know, I might have to stop Thursday morning. I may not be able to get anything all day Thursday. I might be able to sip a little water and just see where my weight is. So I just kind of watch my weight. But really just bringing that water up and then cutting it, kind of flushes your system. And the trick is how you put that weight right back on, because usually within 2 hours, I can be right back to the weight I was or a little bit more, because it really is just a water cut.
Right. Do you incorporate any cardio at all in the front end or the back end at all? Is that part of your regular thing?
Oh, Brian.
I got to ask, now that you're getting older, do you find cardio is something that you need to include so that you feel better? Or is it something you can still kind of not have to worry about?
It is something that I think about because, and you're absolutely right, it's an age thing, you know, just for heart health in general. Right. So I do some cardio. You know, the arguments are out there. Well, you know, you got to be on the treadmill for this long and all this. I like the high intensity burst stuff.
Right.
My favorite piece of cardio equipment is the stepper. You know, those old step bells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll get on one of those things and blast out 100 floors, you know, and it doesn't take that long, but man, you know, that really gets your heart racing. And, so I prefer things like that. I do some sled dragging and I'll do what I call a kettlebell complex where I'll string together like 6 kettlebell movements and, you know, roll through all 6. I'll take a short break and then roll through all 6. And like, I'll repeat that 4 times. So that's more of how I get my, my heart pumping in smaller, you know, time frame wise, shorter periods of time, but way more intense. I'll take it up to 80-90%.
Yeah. Cardio takes on, I mean, lots of phases. You know, the average person thinks that cardio consists of going to the gym, stepping on the treadmill, stretching your calves, knocking out 30 minutes and walking away, or, you know, people getting on the elliptical or whatever. But I mean, really between kettlebell training, sled training for sure, interval training, either indoors or outdoors, you certainly have that. You know, lots of people rely on stadium stairs and those kinds of things. And I think that my opinion, when I was younger, I didn't do any cardio, but I look like I didn't do any cardio either. It wasn't an important part, but then, you know, strongman really changed after kind of the mid-90s to late-90s. It wasn't the static strength stuff primarily. It had this huge shift to medleys, whether it was, you know, loading medleys or pushing medleys or lifting medleys or you know, hand-over-hand rope truck for the pull forward, hand-over-hand rope truck. Rope pull with the truck. I knew I could get that out. Or even just a flat truck pull. You know, there was a cardio component there that really kind of came about that guys just had to adapt or else they weren't going to succeed. They weren't going to be the guys that they were before. And that's why, you know, people like our guest tonight, Mike Jenkins, he really exemplifies those guys that have used cardio because of his Division I football days in the past. You know, cardio has been an important component to all of his training, but now it's become a huge part of it. Maybe not so much at events like the Arnold, but certainly with the upcoming World's Strongest Man, if you don't have cardio, you just aren't going to do well.
Oh, I absolutely is true. The Arnold is sort of a kind of a throwback event in and of itself.
Because, right.
You know,
right.
You think about that's why the Druids did so well there for so long, is he just standing in place, you know, he couldn't be touched. And, you know, the World's Strongest Man is almost, if you put those two contests side by side, it's one spectrum, you know, one side of the spectrum and the other, because there is so much more moving. And the weights at World's Strongest Man have just, in the past couple years, really started to catch up. You know, we used to joke because the weights at America's Strongest Man for so many years were, you know, 10 and 15% heavier than the weights at World's Strongest Man. And that was just loading Atlas stones, whether it was a 5-stone run or whether it was an overhead press for reps or whatever the case. But it's just starting to get heavier. But as compared to the Arnold, he's got to be in a completely different kind of shape for this upcoming, you know, next week and a half, whatever, than he was earlier in the year.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that, for me, I personally enjoy the Arnold a lot more simply because it is that. It's a throwback to what I consider true strongman to be, and it's something different, which I really think is, you know, it's important. I think it's really important, but it's, you know, it's something that's really, it's a new direction. And so going and seeing the big heavy static stuff is awesome. I love watching it. And it, just because it's, to me, again, like I said, it's just what I consider true strongman to be. But at the same time, I truly appreciate the athleticism that the sport has taken on by taking the new direction of, you know, more cardio event based events.
Well, you know, and what we try to do, you know, with ASC and certainly with the NAS promoters is have a good mix. And I think, and you were there with me in Dallas, it was an interesting kind of a study in that the first three events were more of the static type events as it just kind of happened, you know, it's sort of laid out that way. And then the following events were more of those moving events. So going into day two, the guy that had the lead was Dimitar Savatinov, and he is a static guy. I mean, he was, if you took all the guys that were competing in Dallas and you said, okay, let's put these guys on the Arnold stage, which one would win? He would have been the guy, because from a static strength standpoint, he was clearly the strongest. But then you took, you know, added in those moving events, and, you know, the big man from California was strong, but he also had great conditioning. So, you know, Oberst was able to run with events and finish the medleys, you know, where the stronger guy, and again, even though he was, you know, in that static standing position, more powerful, you know, when it came to those moving events, he wasn't quite cut out for them.
Right. He, and it's kind of funny, because when you look at him, he doesn't look like a cardio kind of guy. I fully didn't expect him to do as well in the medley at the end as he did. Although when I talked to him about his background, it made perfect sense. I mean,
he was a football player, you know, and I remember the first time, that we saw Michael compete, he was a big kid, terrible technique, just raw explosive strength. And then a year and a half, maybe later, there was a contest in South Carolina, or North Carolina, beg your pardon. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we had a 1,000-pound yoke. And we figured some guys were going to pick it up and walk with it. I remember blowing the whistle saying go. And like, I barely got to 8 seconds and he had already moved 50 feet with a 1,000-pound yoke. I mean, he flew and it was over. And I was just so surprised at just how fast, and he wasn't as big then, certainly as he is now, but he was still 340 pounds. And he just picked that thing up and ran with it. You know, it was amazing to see a big guy like that, a big body, you know, thick joints, thick ankles, be able to move with that much speed.
Yep. Yeah. And it's impressive, because the bigger he's gotten, he's still maintained all that speed without difficulty. I think a lot of that, you know, that, what we talked about last week with his CrossFit crossover has really helped him maintain the cardio component and the athleticism that he might not otherwise get. He certainly isn't the mold of CrossFit guy, but he's your average guy, just multiplied genetically by, you know, a factor of three. He's just a huge guy, but he's still structurally proportionate to, you know, just a regular person.
Yeah, I mean, he's got an athletic frame. There's no question about it.
Yeah. And he's a good-looking guy. He's got a shaved head. So, you know, what else can you say? You know, I was looking at the events before. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you get into anything interesting? Did you, were you out of town again, or finally get a chance to settle down, or?
No, we were home. Actually, it was nice, because Sally's been gone. She was 12 out of 14 days, I think. She was gone to the North Americans in Jersey or wherever it was. For 4 days, she came home on a Sunday night, and then she left on Tuesday to go to Finland. She was in Finland for 8 days covering the IFBB contest there in Finland, which she absolutely loved. The way the promoter and what they've got going on over there, bodybuilding is a true sport over there, and they had an arena with a room for like 8,000 people, and it was packed for finals. And apparently it was a really good show too. Jonas Runtinen squatted 1221 at their show there, the Bull Farm show that they put on. And, she said it was just all around, from a promotion standpoint, it was a really great show. And, Jonas looks like a younger version of me. And he speaks no very, 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 very little English. And he saw Sally, and, he walked by her and just gave her a, because he was apparently attracted to her. And so I told her, I said, if he was a true Viking back in the day, he would have just run over her shoulder and taken her home and fucked her and claimed her as his own. So I told her she should feel fortunate we're in a day and an era where that's no longer happening. Otherwise she'd still be in Finland. So, she's back and, you know, it's that time of the year, kids are back in school, and you know, my boys are in jiu-jitsu, and my daughter's in gymnastics, and so just a busy, busy schedule with all the RX stuff, and I know now with this new radio program, and just staying busy, and trying to get caught up, and I'm training, and training's going well, cardio blows, but I'm making it happen, so yeah, things are okay.
You were training for a strongman meet. You were going to do the maybe a master's level type thing, but didn't you get injured?
Yeah, that's what I was going to do, and then I ruptured my Achilles. And on top of, you know, both bicep ruptures and my neck fracture from 2004, and I'm not 100% certain that my body was ready for it. So Sally talked me into going in a different direction, and I'm going to do a master's bodybuilding show next year.
Outstanding.
And it's completely fucking different, but it's not, I mean, it's not bad. I like the food, the nutrition part of it's good. Dave Palumbo's doing my nutrition for me, and I'm eating 6 times a day, twice, 2 days in a row, 7 times a day, another day. And that 7 times a day is a no carb day. It's different cardio 4 to 5 days a week, kind of at my leisure. I can do it fasting in the morning if I want to, or I can do it later in the afternoon after training, whatever I want. And so it's not bad. The training part of it's different. You know, I'm used to training heavy and, you know, low volume, and my body's kind of adapting and changing with this kind of higher volume. I still do some heavy compound movements, but you know, it's changing, and I like it. It's different. I started off when I was in Dallas, when I saw you last time, I probably dropped 10 pounds. I think I started at 326. I was probably 315 in Dallas, and I was 291 yesterday morning. So I'm headed in the right direction. I'd like to be 285 by sometime next week, but I don't think I'm quite going to make it there. We'll see. But
So what do you think? I mean, what will be your on stage weight?
Dave hadn't seen pictures of me. He'd only seen me in clothes. And so he thought I was fatter than I was. And when he saw my first pictures, he thought I was going to step on the stage at like 235. And I'm 6 feet tall. And I'm like, I haven't weighed 235 pounds since like ninth grade. So I didn't envision that happening. And then when he saw my pictures, he had a different perspective. He thinks probably 255. Maybe 260, but probably 255 to be realistic. But I'm taking things slow. My contest I'm going to do is in March. Hopefully, it's here locally. It's the West Texas Classic. It's a national qualifier. For masters, I only have to do, I have to just compete in any show anywhere, and then I can do a masters national level show. I don't have to qualify for it. And so at the end of March, that's what I'll do. I'm doing kind of a modified, working my way down, kind of chiseling off the body fat and getting my body used to a different training style until probably around somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'll probably take a week off and eat reasonable, but still eat some fun foods and give my body a break for a little bit. And then I'll probably do, you know, maybe 16 to 18 weeks of true ketogenic diet and lots of cardio, and just start chiseling away down to whatever it gets. And, you know, and if I don't look the way I think I should look, then I won't do the show. I'll wait and do something later on. There's like 14 NPC shows here in Texas every year. So I've got plenty of opportunities to do shows. I was going to do the Ronnie Coleman, but we cover the big powerlifting event that Sean Catterley puts on there, where Benedict Magnus broke the raw deadlift record with 10:15 2 years ago. So we'll be there covering that. And she says I can't compete and cover it on the same weekend. So I'm not sure what I'll do if the West Texas Classic doesn't happen. So we'll see. We're getting there. Slowly.
Yeah, dieting is definitely a trip. I've never dieted ever until about a year and a half ago. Yeah. And I started working with Nathan and working on, you know, eating right and bringing numbers together as far as blood numbers and that kind of thing. And And really, over a year and a half, I mean, my weight really hasn't changed. And my training really hasn't changed, but my body composition has changed considerably.
Yeah, definitely.
So I probably dropped, percentages, maybe 10 or 15% of body fat and didn't really change weight. So it was really a shift, I guess, more than anything else.
So it was good. When I saw you at the Olympia last year, you looked one way. And then when I saw you, when did I see you this year? At the Arnold, I guess.
Here in Dallas.
I saw you this year. Well, I saw you
earlier this year. Connecticut.
Yeah.
Or at the Arnold, yeah.
Yeah, one of the two. It was obvious that you'd obviously gone under a huge transformation. And whether it was intentional or not, you look good. You look big. And for being 74 years old, I mean, I was proud. I thought you looked terrific.
I know. I'm up there with Jim Lormer in the age. You know, I'm not quite ready for the scooter, but I'm telling you what, I'm old.
Speaking of scooters, when I ruptured my Achilles, you know those little knee trike things, the little trikes you put your knee on? I had one of those for 16 weeks. It was the most awesome thing I could have ever had because crutches just blow. And the scooter itself, it was awesome. I could get anywhere. I crashed a couple times. Going too fast, making corners too fast, and watching a 320-pound guy tumble across the asphalt with his foot in a boot and a trike dragging behind him, I would imagine it was pretty comical, but it was rehab.
Did you have the beefed-up suspension on that?
They got me one. It was the first one they got me. They brought it out and then they looked at me. They're like, no, it's not going to work. So they got me one that was actually rated to 350 pounds. So it was, it worked out okay.
Yeah, I could see them. We're going to need bigger tires.
Aircraft tires with good pneumatics or something. Hey, Mike, I think we're going to, there's one other thing I want to cover real quick. Did you know? Today is Thursday will be September 20th. What happened in this day in 1973, September 20th? What big sporting event took place that was termed or coined the Battle of the Sexes? Do you remember what that was?
In 1973, I'm going to go Billie Jean King and didn't she play tennis against some guy?
Yep. Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes tennis match in Houston, Texas.
Nice. And the only reason I know that, I remember reading about it much later, obviously, because I was only four. But, you probably were there watching it because you were like in your teens. But I do remember reading about that.
Yeah, that was a big deal back then. I mean, they really made a big deal out of it. And then she came out because she was a lesbian, and then she just disappeared into obscurity after that. But and I don't even know that anybody actually knows who Bobby Riggs is. He may be homeless in a gutter somewhere or something. I don't even know that relevant at any point, or if he's even still alive. So, well, on that note, Mike, we're gonna take a commercial break. Let our sponsors help us pay our bills. And, the fellow we've been talking about earlier, when I called and talked to him, he was super excited to come on the show. And we're gonna talk to him about the upcoming World's Strongest Man in the next couple of weeks, plus some training and his pretty unique diet, which has really worked well for him. My good friend, the big, massive, 6'6", 400-pound, Arnold Strongman Classic Champion, Big Mike Jenkins, will be right back with us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Mike.
Custom Stacks Nutrition and its team of dedicated fitness professionals are here to help you achieve your fitness, sports, and body transformation goals. Custom Stacks Nutrition offers discount sports supplements, vitamins, and nutritional products to meet the needs of all types of fitness enthusiasts, from weekend warriors to competitive athletes and bodybuilders, and everyone interested in better health. We offer rock-bottom wholesale prices with easy ordering, top-rated service, and super fast shipping. All RX Power Hour listeners get 5% off all orders of $100 or more. Just visit CustomStacksNutrition.com and enter the code POWERHOUR when ordering. Custom Stacks Nutrition, your number one internet discount supplement retailer.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific specific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop, and also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding.
rxmuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the rxmuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit rxmuscle.com. This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back to the RX Power Hour Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the strength sports industry. I'm Brian Hildebrand, my good friend Mike Johnston on the other end. Mike, I got a question for you. I was watching the videos again on the 360 Cut Nutrition page on YouTube. What do you guys got coming up next? What do you guys have coming up in the can, training wise, that you're going to do?
Well, we're probably going to do some filming tomorrow, some more power pole movements, actually. And then this weekend, some heavy squatting. We'll be taking some overload numbers. To about 2 inches, maybe 3 inches above parallel, just to some nervous system training, Chuck likes to call it. So I think we're going to put a little bit of that on this coming weekend. That'll be next. And then actually later in the week, too, I'll be doing another installment with the ACL rehab young man. He's in about 9 weeks now, so his ACL rehab has picked up pretty intensely. So we'll kind of get an idea of, you know, 9 weeks post ACL reconstruction, what somebody should be able to do from a training standpoint.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Mike, on the other line is tonight's guest, Mike Jenkins, the 2012 Arnold Strongman Classic champion and newlywed. Mike, my first question for you, Mike, is simple. Now that you've become this famous guy in the CrossFit community, you're a world champion. How does your wife treat you? Does she treat you differently? Does she expect more out of you?
No, she yells at me a lot more and tells me not to get a big head. So it's gotten worse. I get reprimanded a lot more at home.
She weighs about
the dogs.
She weighs about 12 too, so it's not like I can't imagine having a huge impact. But is she brutal?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to know, me and my brother, we were both, you know, 300 pounds by eighth grade, so, and we had a mom that was 5'5", so it doesn't matter how big you are, and, you know, my mom definitely took care of business with 600 pounds with sons that weren't even in high school yet, so.
Nice, nice. Well, good. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming on. I know you guys, you've had a really good year this year between winning the Arnold, traveling to Australia a couple weeks later, winning the Giants Live there. Came back and got married the week afterwards to Carrie, and that went really well. I saw the pictures, and you guys look like you had a terrific time. Now you've taken a break. I know that you've done a lot of CrossFit work with your gym there locally, and kind of give me an idea. I want to step back first. I want to talk about now. You played college ball, played on national championship team, and. Mm-hmm. What did you weigh your senior year then, you think, after the football season, what do you think you weighed?
When I worked out for some NFL and arena teams, I was about 310, 315. So I stayed about that same weight from the time I graduated to the time I started Strongman a year or two later.
Gotcha. So 310, 315, you had good cardio because obviously you were training for football. Now, fast forward several years, and now you're 400 pounds. How does your cardio rank now compared to when you were 310, 315? How do you feel? What's the par there?
I still think, you know, like at short distances, I still think I'm okay. Obviously, you know, I couldn't go out and run, you know, 1600s or 16 110s or whatever it is. But you know, relatively speaking, you know, and with the weight, I think, you know, I'm in just as good a shape, you know, for being somebody that's 400 pounds.
Right.
So I mean, I know I'm in better shape at 400 than I was with some guys that I played with that were, you know, in the high twos when I played with them in college. So, you know, I feel good about where I'm at.
Good. What have you done different, Bob? What do you do for cardio? What's cardio like for you now? Getting ready for, you know, Mike and I were talking earlier, Mike Johnston and I were talking earlier about the differences between the Arnold Strongman and World Strongest Man, and how that, you know, the Arnold Strongman is a throwback to the old school with the static stuff, and World Strongest Man has more of the loading medleys and the pressing medleys and stuff that really taxes your gas. How do you feel cardio wise? Have you changed at all? Does your training change from Arnold compared to Worlds?
Cardio wise, yes. You know, I throw in an extra day or two of, you know, events that are moving based, you know, keg carries, keg loads, you know, long stone runs, stones for reps, lots of sled pushes and pulls. You know, it's nothing crazy, just basic stuff, but you know, stuff that's weighted and loaded movements that, you know, force you to get breathing really quick over a long period of time. I'll usually do a lower weight for longer distance, you know, and focus on that. And then, you know, on event days, do the heavy events for the set distances or a tad bit longer. But I'll always throw a day in where it's a little lighter, but just, you know, going for distance or, you know, a set time, whether it's, you know, maybe 2 minutes straight or, you know, 90 seconds. As opposed to, you know, trying to get the load medley done in, you know, 40, 45 seconds.
Gotcha. Hey, I would say Mike J, but that encompasses both of you, Mike Johnston. Didn't you have a listener question pertaining to training?
Yeah, actually, in anticipation of you coming on, Michael, obviously a lot of people are interested and we're, you know, gearing up for World's Strongest Men. So we kind of put the word out there for listeners to ask questions. And interestingly, a very famous listener and one of your professional strongman brothers, Carl Gillingham, wrote in, and he asked, he's involved in CrossFit, and he asked, do you specifically do anything training your clients, kind of get in the mix of doing some of the CrossFit type things with them?
I've occasionally actually done some of the benchmark WODs. I, I have a 5-minute Fran time, which if anybody out there knows what Fran is, it's 21:15:09 thrusters and pull-ups, and I did it as prescribed. So pull-ups at 400 pounds are pretty tough, and so I took it in there. I went and got my level one certification. There was like games competitors there teaching and everything, and you know they were like, "Oh, do you need bands for your pull-ups?" And I was like, "Come on, man, I got this, seriously." And I think there was probably only 7 or 8 people that beat me there. They were all kind of shocked that, you know, somebody 400 pounds can do pull-ups, you know, 21 in a row, and then go right into some thrusters. So, you know, I'm definitely in a lot better shape than, and most strongmen are, than, you know, the general public thinks we are.
Right. What did the pull-up bar look like afterwards?
I usually, you know, my rogue racks, but at the certification I was done in Charlottesville, they made me use the one that was anchored into the cinder block wall, not the one that was running across the garage door, because I probably would have brought the whole garage door down, they said. So
right.
I had to go over in the corner with the cinder block wall.
Yeah, you mentioned the rogue racks. They're right here in Columbus, not far from where I live. And it's an absolutely amazing equipment that they have there. I see when you're tweeting sometimes you're at Rogue Fitness, and they've got some really wild-looking racks. And, in fact, they're making some of the stuff even for, like, Louis Simmons, some of his signature pieces. So they've really kind of jumped out in the forefront as far as building some, you know, equipment, manufacturing some different things.
They did, and, you know, like, fortunately, you know, I do that for a reason. I met Katie, who is Bill's wife, who owns Rogue down at the regionals for CrossFit, and a mutual friend of ours kind of went up and put us in touch, and, you know, we worked out a really nice sponsorship deal. So now, you know, I get equipment from them. I'm going to go out once World is over and do some things, you know, like Louie and Donnie Thompson are all doing out there at Rogue to produce some equipment that's, you know, strongman specific. But, you know, we really like the stuff we have. You know, it holds up. They sent me the big, huge monster rack to test out that Mark Bell was kind of testing out at first. So, you know, I really like their stuff. It's held up, and it's actually the first equipment, you know, rack-wise and really gym-wise that I ever owned. It's my own. So it's definitely, you know, a nice piece that, you know, it's definitely going to last for a while, and I'll be able to hold one, too.
Well, speaking about your own, give us a quick version of the story of how you came to own your gym last year.
Well, I got invited to the World's Strongest Man, and my job, my former job, gave me an ultimatum, and they said, you can go to Worlds, or you can keep your job. And gave him a little quick high five and told him my letter of resignation will be in the box in 5 minutes. And I walked out of the office, and they kind of looked at each other, and they thought I was bluffing, and brought my letter of resignation back and thanked them and gave them my 2 weeks. So I figured, I was like, you know, what am I going to do now? And, you know, I've always wanted to train with athletes, work with athletes. And, you know, so I started my own LLC, training some kids, and bounced around different places. And a mutual friend of mine that knows the gentleman that owns the CrossFit gym was like, hey, give this guy Jeremy a call. You know, he's opened the CrossFit gym, has some space, and, you know, looking for other things. And he's been more than accommodating with, you know, letting me, you know, use the space, and got on my CrossFit cert. So I'm helping with different CrossFit classes. I have kids, my level one, and powerlifting. I like CrossFit. It's for everybody. Really train high school athletes. But most recently, I actually applied for a job at the Milton Hershey School. It's a school for kind of disadvantaged youth out here in Hershey, PA. It was founded by Milton Hershey, the Hershey chocolate guy. And I've probably applied there about 10 to 15 times. All times, you know, been denied. I think I would have probably had a better chance of being elected president this year, even with all the I don't follow any of that stuff, so I don't talk politics, but I could have probably got elected president before I got a job in Milton Hershey, or so I thought. So when I get back from the Loglift World Championship and Arnold Europe after Worlds, I'm going to start running some after-school programs over at Milton Hershey. It's you know, it's something that's for the future. You know, training people, I love doing it, but it's something that can only last so long. You know, nobody wants to get trained by anybody that's old and, you know, out of the game and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's, you know, I've been trying to get in for a while, and it's a really good place and, you know, an opportunity I couldn't pass up. So I'm still going to be doing some stuff in the gym part-time, with athletes, with CrossFit, but, you know, obviously in myself, but, you know, my main focus now is going to be over at the Milton Hershey School once I get back from my, my world tour.
So in 2012, we've seen Mike Jenkins, world champion, Mike Jenkins' husband, and now Mike Jenkins' philanthropist, all wrapped up in 12 months.
I wouldn't know if I call myself a philanthropist. I am I'm a budding role model for youth.
And you probably get all the free chocolate you want, so that's a sweet deal.
Yeah, you don't know what it's like. If I go back into a relapse, I'm like Homer Simpson. People find me like in a coma, drooling somewhere. If I start eating like that again, I'll be on the Biggest Loser as a competitor.
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of that, I know Brian was wanting to get into this, you know, kind of moving away from training a little bit, and I do have some questions from one of our listeners about your diet. And then you can talk more about the paleo diet Brian and I were talking about earlier. But Scott Hohag from Minnesota was wondering how many calories, roughly, if you watch your calories, number one, to maintain or to up your weight, and then how much real food do you eat versus supplements?
I'd say on a normal day when, you know, I can get all my real meals, and I'm not rushed, obviously sometimes traveling and, you know, I just grab a shake and see like peanut butter or something instead. But, normally, I'll really only have maybe two or three shakes out of my eight or nine meals a day. And that's, you know, maybe a mid-morning snack, a bedtime snack, and a post-workout. So, that's, you know, I try and get majority, if not all of my, you know, calories from whole foods. As far as calories per day, I probably don't go much over 5,000, even on, you know, bigger days, like before heavy training days and that kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of times I'm probably even under 5,000. I'm a real easy gainer. You know, if I look at food the wrong way, you know, I saw like a girl, it goes straight to my hips. So, you know, I definitely have to watch what I eat. There's not much, and it's bad when your wife complains that, you know, and yells at you that there's no food in the house to snack on. So it's pretty much all, you know, vegetables and meat and natural organic nut butters and nuts and that kind of thing. So, you know, we both stay on, you know, really, you know, healthy diets and clean diets. And, you know, I'm the type, like, I can't just have one. Like, people are like, you just have one cookie. You can't eat one cookie. You can't have a bite of cake. You know, it's impossible. If you can, now something's wrong with you. Yeah, if you have a disorder, trust me, have one cookie.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't work. Trust me. I'm dieting now. I was telling Mike I'm down to 291, and I made a mistake. You know, the kids are back in school now, so there's one cover that has all the kids' food in it. You know, the little granola bars and cinnamon life cereal, and you know, just crap like that. I can't even open that door. I can't even open it. If I walk past it to walk through to the garage, I just have to not even look at it. You can't have just one. It does not work.
I got back from Australia, and I stayed at my parents' house for the night. I flew into D.C., and I was so tired of just eating clean and being on a plane for 30 hours. I ate an entire box of some kind of, like, sweet cereal, and you know, I was so sick. Like 2 days, but it tasted so good. I just poured in a huge like mixing bowl and dumped about a half gallon of milk in and went to town.
So you're saying like the chocolate fountain at the Golden Corral would spell death for you?
I'm not a big chocolate guy. I mean, if I had to indulge, I would probably like do like baked goods and cakes and cookies and that kind of thing.
Yeah, now you're in my wheelhouse right there.
And definitely chocolate milk, but I'll a baked goods, like, and some ice cream type guy. Not really, you know, the, like the sweets and candy and that kind of thing. Don't get me wrong, I'll eat some chocolate, but I'd rather have the cookies and cakes.
And my kids went to the grocery store here the other day, and there is a new milk that's out, it's a new chocolate milk. My kids know they love chocolate milk, and they justified it because it has 28 grams of protein in it as well. So it's got a bunch of whey in it. Plus, it is stupid delicious. I can't go buy milk in that corner of the store because it's sitting right there in front of me when I go to pick up the gallon of milk for the kids. It is, I have to find the name of it. It was absolutely delicious. It was Rocket Fuel or something like that. I can't remember what it was called. It was Rocket Fuel. If you like chocolate milk, it was the answer. Sort of. Except for the, you know, 42 grams of sugar and 2.5 servings per container kind of thing. But
some diabetic coma.
But with the 5,000 calories, I mean, I guess it's actually surprising because, you know, I remember hearing stories of, you know, 10,000 calories from bodybuilders back in the day, you know, when they were coming up and just reading, you know, Muscle and Fitness or whatever, and these crazy diets that people would eat. But, you know, I would just think that, you know, I would think that you would have more than that. But I guess, you know, if it's all natural food, I know that when I eat clean, it's harder to get calories when you're eating. It just feels like I'm eating all the time to try to get the amount of calories.
Right. I mean, I always feel full from the natural foods, and it's even less sometimes than when I, you know, when I supplement and that kind of thing. And, you know, people always like, how'd you get it? I was 225 when I was in sixth grade. So, and I've always been just a bigger person that does, like, I could, you know, if I eat like a normal person, went to McDonald's and, you know, the way a normal American eats, I would probably be close to 500 pounds. So, you know, I definitely have to watch what I eat. I mean, I've always just been, you know, like I said, I was 11 and I was 225, 6 foot, 225 in sixth grade. So
that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So I guess using that, what is your grocery bill like every month? And what was it like when you were a kid? Did your mother bitch at you guys because you kept eating and wouldn't stop?
Oh my God. Yeah. With me and my brother in the house, Christ, I don't know how my parents, did it. But I know I went to the store the other day with Muscle Mag was in town shooting some pictures and, that kind of thing. And they did the lifestyle portion. So we went to the grocery store and people in the grocery store thought I was really important and somebody really cool because they were taking pictures, but little do they know, I'm just a guy that pulls trucks and stuff, not anybody special. But I think on meat and some eggs and stuff like that, I think I spent almost $300, but I did get 80 pounds of chicken, 30 pounds of lean red meat, probably like 5 pounds of beef tips, some almond milk and some eggs. So, you know, I got a lot of stuff, but, you know, and that'll last probably about a month.
I shop at Costco for like, for big purchases like that, for like meat and stuff. I mean, they have like a better prices, but you're definitely buying in bulk. You know what I mean? Once a month I'll go there and it'll be an easy $300 there. And then like just go to the grocery store to pick up milk and, you know, all the rest.
We have a local grocer around here. There's only like 5 stores in central Pennsylvania. And if you buy like 20 or more pounds of chicken, it takes it down to like $1.39 a pound, which is super cheap. So, I mean, I have no people who are like, oh my God, 20 pounds of chicken. I'm like, dude, that's gone in a week. What are you talking about 20 pounds of chicken? A lot. So,
yeah. No, I'm lucky if we get $2.79 a pound around here, but I'm out in the middle of nowhere, Texas, where it's beef country. So,
oh yeah.
Steak is cheap and steak is fantastic out here, but, chicken is not, the chicken quality is okay, but it's not cheap. That's for sure. I wish it was.
Sure.
That's where it comes from. Well, Mike, what's the name of your gym? Where is it at? Where can people find it? And how can we find your gym online?
Google Earth. It is 13 Stripes CrossFit. We're right outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. 13stripescrossfit.com. You know, we have CrossFit Kids, CrossFit for Adults, and I teach a strength class that's somewhat based on the CrossFit powerlifting cert that I took. And I kind of base a lot of it around my training too, because you know, it worked for me. So I kind of tweak and incorporate it with, you know, some of the guys that are in that class, and they like it. So kind of have, you know, the whole gamut in there for everybody. You know, we have, like I said, little kids up to 75, 80-year-old people in there running around throwing wobbles at each other and that kind of thing. So it's a good time.
Do you train there as well, or do you train somewhere else?
No, fortunately, Jeremy was nice enough to, you know, give me enough room. I finally, this is the first time ever since I started Strongman where I've had Atlas stones of my own inside. I've had enough room inside to do, you know, farmers, keg runs, yoke runs, a place outside to do stuff when it's warm or even when it's not warm, whatever, on a flat surface, area outside for tires and the grass and that kind of thing. I've always had to drive 2+ hours, you know, to do things like stones, and my stones were outside my parents' barn when I lived at home when I first started. So it's definitely made it a lot easier to train to, you know, have your stuff, you know, all at one place and doing stones in January on top of Windy Hill when it's 25 degrees is pretty tough. So it's a nice violent item inside.
Yeah, good. Hey, Mike, do we have any other listener questions?
Yeah, actually, speaking of training, I have a couple more. Taylor Beck from California, and I know this has been a sticky point throughout your strongman career. I know you're working and getting it better, but he should ask, what are you doing to improve your deadlift? What kind of accessory work are you doing for that to get that deadlift up?
You know, just started deadlifting a lot more. You know, a lot of people don't know, like, I started strongman as a hobby. You know, when I met you for the first time out in Vegas, Mike, it was my second show. I'd been doing it for 2 months. I don't think I even deadlifted once at that point. We didn't deadlift a lot in college. It's hard to with 40 guys at one time in a weight room, you know, for college football. Did a ton of squats. That's why, you know, squatting is one of my strong points. I probably started deadlifting to train right before the amateur Arnold. So that was 2 years ago. So, you know, I really haven't been doing it that long just because I didn't think I never planned on being where I'm at. You know, I hoped, but I didn't think it would turn into this. So I would deadlift like once a month. I didn't think it was that important because, like I said, I thought I was just going to be going and doing, you know, a local show here and there every other month or something like that. But basically just deadlifting more. And, you know, not overtraining, but deadlifting more. And went out and got myself a Rogue Fitness, a Louis Simmons reverse hyper, a real nice glute ham raise, and, you know, just different variations of deadlifts, lots of upper back accessory stuff. And something I found out, actually, I always box squatted, you know, as part of my workout, but never really focused on it for deadlifts. But Marshall White, the newly father ginger out in Colorado, my favorite American strongman, he said one of the things he did was wide stance box squats above 90 degrees, and it helped his hip strength at the top of his deadlift. And you know, I think it worked. I started doing some box squats above parallel, and my deadlift went up. If it was because of that, I don't know, but you know, it helped. Something worked. So I continue to incorporate that, and you know, it's going up gradually. Not at Brian or Zadrunas or Kerry Holland's level yet, but from where I was at a year ago, I'm happy with it.
Oh, I think that it sounds like you're on the right track. I love to deadlift. As you mentioned in your tweet earlier, it's probably because of, you know, being 5'9" and having long gorilla arms, it kind of makes the stroke very small. But, but deadlifting, breaking it down, I know, there's kind of I talked to Vince Urbank, who's a amazing deadlifter, even though he is tall. And he's a guy that, pulls from the deadlift position only, so he doesn't vary his training. I prefer to sort of break the deadlift down into portions.
you know, where you pull some from the rack, you pull some from the floor, and actually pull some from a deficit, and then put it all back together as one movement. And that's more of a, I guess, arguably you could say that's more of a West Side style, you know, when you're pulling from varying heights and from varying foot stances and that kind of a thing. So, yeah, I mean, it, focusing on deadlift will certainly help you deadlift. And then I don't think anybody can deny the box squatting will bring your hip strength up, and that will certainly help as well. So we have one more question then from another strong woman competitor, our first strong woman competitor, but from Australia. Her name is Sue Metcalf, and she wants to know, one, how structured is your training? I know you talked about it a little bit, but how structured is it close to contest time? And do you work with contest weights? I know you guys just kind of found out what the weights were. Or do you do more of a percentage and kind of hit the weights at the show?
My training is pretty structured the same throughout the entire year. Obviously, you know, different events and lifts for whatever contest is coming up. But I have my main days that I found work best for recovering from my body. As far as order of training, you know, squats, deadlifts, overhead, pressing, accessories, and that kind of thing. So that stays pretty routine throughout the year. You know, log everything, you know, I have my book in my gym bag. That's probably the most organized I am in my life, like any portion of it. So it sounds, you know, there's papers all over the kitchen table and I get yelled at for that. But my training log, it is solid.
Christine. And,
yeah, it's definitely, you know, and I've kept track probably for the past, you know, since I've started really, you know, recording stuff. We did it in college and it worked and, you know, I kept doing it. As far as contest weights, you know, I still really don't know like all the way, what the weights are going to be, you know, other than like the max log. And I've heard like maybe a roundabout what some of the weights are for, you know, the deadlift for reps and that sort of thing. So, my mentality is always to train a little either longer, you know, taller, heavier, whatever it may be. The event, specific event, that way when you go into a contest, if you have to go 100 feet, you've been training, let's say, you know, 130, you know, at 100, you still have some in the tank and you're not kind of grinding out that last 10, 20 feet. You know, same with weights. You know, if you're training a little bit over, at least I think, then, you know, you get to a contest and one, you're amped up for the contest, and two, you know, you've been able and capable of training with something that's a little heavier. Obviously if it's, you know, something that's 700 for reps, you know, you're not training 800 for reps because there's a huge discrepancy there, but, you know, maybe 725, it's a 700 squat or, you know, 730 or something like that. Just so, you know, when you go in, you know, your body, you're like, wow, you know, I've been training a lot heavier. And, you know, for me, it's kind of a mental thing, you know, to train and know I can do whatever, like, say it's a 320 log, train with 350, and I've been training with 350, getting X amount of reps, then, you know I should be good for however many reps it is when I come, and the log's 25 pounds lighter. So that's kind of how I go into things. You know, just do it harder in training. I think a lot of guys are that way. I mean, if you interview or talk to any strongman, you know, they're training so much harder than a contest. You know, so you need those week and a half or whatever it is off before the contest because you're so beat up from training because you've gone so heavy and, you know, so long and so hard that, you know, come contest time, you know, you're ready to go.
Yeah. I think that I was going to say, I agree with that overload principle. Whether it's weights or distances, you know, and I do believe it worked. I know that's how we do a lot of it in powerlifting. It's always based on an overload. So your nervous system certainly, and just your psyche is ready to handle that weight and more. I think a lot of the amateurs that I talk to, especially the strongman, they get very wrapped around the axle on what the contest weight is, as opposed to, you know, the training methodology of, okay, how do I get to the contest weight? How do I surpass the contest weight or the contest distance? Or, you know, I used to even go so far, if something was a three-part medley, I would do those three parts of the medley, but I would add a fourth piece at the beginning just so I went into the 1, 2, 3 tacks, you know, so I had to go harder and dig deeper. So then, like you say, by the time you get to the contest, you're just smoking the three-part medley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if I'm doing, like, you know, if I know there's a Stone series, like, you know, now, obviously, you know, when you knew me from the beginning, that was one of my weak points. You know, I'm better at Stones now. And, you know, if it's going to be a 5-stone series, you know, maybe the first stone I'll do 2 or 3 times before I get in the series, or, you know, the last stone I'll put up for a double or something like that. That way, you know, when it comes down to it and you only have to load 5 stones, that's easy. Or, you know, I know it's going to be 3 kegs. You know, I'll do 4 or I'll run 20 feet further. So, you know, like you said, same principle. And, you know, I think it's more mental than it is physical for a lot of guys. A lot of guys beat themselves up and, you know, they worry, like you said, they worry too much about the contest weight and, you know, they just get wrapped around those numbers. I mean, 1, you can either do it or you can't. And, you know, 2, you get there, there's nothing you can do. You, like, you can't control anybody else. So I prepare myself as good as I can, you know, going into whatever it is. And if I win, like, I win. I prepare enough. If I don't, I have things to work on. And, you know, that's all to do it.
Hey, Mike, my question, we're going to wrap this up here. I've got a last question for you here. Looking at you're in Group 2 for World's Strongest Man coming up in L.A. in about a week or so now.
I leave on Friday morning. We start Monday.
Nice. So in your group, you've got Nick Best, Thor Bjornsson from Iceland, Eddie Hall from the U.K., Sebastian Kurek from Poland, and Ikos Nagy from Hungary. To me, you're the clear winner of that group. I don't think anybody will deny that you're going to be the winner of that group. So we can skip forward and look at the final event. They have on Monday, October 1st, which is the final day, the last three events are the deadlift, the rock lift, and the power stairs. What's your feeling on? I've read on the discussion boards about how fans are excited that they're moving away from the Atlas Dawn and moving to a new event, and for the final event being power stairs. How do you feel you stack up with power stairs? I don't know that I've actually seen you do that event.
Luckily enough, you know, I've been able to train it. Johnny Bra, you know, from Jersey, he helped me up with some power stairs implements. So I've been lucky enough to play with some of them. You know, and it's one of those things. You know, you can train whatever you have, but if you get there and it's, you know, they're long steps or tall steps or the implement's tall, you know, it can vary. It's strongman. There's so many variables. You know, I feel good about the event. You know, I'm a taller guy. You know, I think it suits guys like myself, Brian, Terry, you know, Mike Burke, you know, guys like that, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and above. Thor, just because, you know, you don't have to shrug it and pull it as much. It's more of just standing up and getting your hips into it. But then again, you don't know the exact dimensions of everything if the power's there. So, you know, I'd be going to an open mind and really see what it's all about when I get out there and hopefully get through the prelims. The National Stones, I don't think they've ever been in Worlds. They're pretty cool. From some of the contests I've seen, I think what the old Dismiss had it. And, you know, it's still Stones, still the same kind of, you know, same movement, same mentality, loading stones. It's just, I think it's a little more visually appealing for people because they see stones like that when they're driving down the road, probably, or, you know, on a farm, or it's not just, I mean, you never see a round ball anywhere other than in front of, I think every strongman has that picture of them pretending to lift the balls outside target. That's the only place you see them. And they're anchored to the ground and they're about 30 inches in, you know, across. So, you know, you're not lifting them, but, I think it'll be more relatable for people, as far as a natural stone. So, and, you know, that's kind of, I'm glad the sport's going in that direction. You know, to get people more involved and, you know, if they see, you know, when they see people doing like a squat and a deadlift, they don't know what 800 pounds really feels like, but when they're pulling a bus or a fire truck, they're like, wow, I know a bus is really heavy. I ride on it and this guy's pulling it. So that kind of thing.
Well, good. Hey, Mike, is there anybody sponsor-wise that you want to thank for getting me the Worlds this year?
Well, you know, I talked about Rogue earlier. You know, I can't thank Bill and Katie enough for helping me out with equipment. You have to be on the lookout for the Rogue Mike Jenkins athlete shirts. And it will be in 4, maybe even 5Xs for all my chubby strongman friends out there. So keep an eye out on the fitness website. MHP. You know, I signed with them recently. It's been really nice to have a supplement company back you and not have to worry about, you know, spending money on all that protein and kind of thing. And St. Muscle Mag, I have a monthly lifestyle article training section in there. They were out for a while. And that's about it. So, you know, there are people that have stuck behind me and, you know, helping me. You know, train and get ready for Worlds. And, you know, I can't thank them enough because not a lot of, you know, as you know, Mike, you know, Brian, it's tough and strong, man, to really find support. You know, we're not Peyton Manning or, you know, Dwight Howard or anybody like that. So when people do support you, you know, we genuinely do really appreciate it.
Good. That's good to know, Mike. Thank you very much. Last question, besides telling your wife, thank you for letting your breakaway to talk with us tonight. Last question, boxers or briefs?
99% of the time, nothing.
No. There you go.
No, I'm definitely.
There it is, Brian. You wanted to know what 400 pounds sounded like sexy. You just heard it.
That's it. 400 pounds of sexy, all wrapped up in one big bald head.
And when I say nothing, I mean not even shorts, like no boxing briefs, nothing. So,
yes, now I'll talk to Carrie about that when I see her again here soon. So I'll make sure she sends us pictures so we can paste them on the Facebook page.
Those pictures go for a lot of money. They're going for a lot of money on the internet.
Yeah, I'm sure you're probably lots of email fan. How much do you bench press? Could you lift me up? Would you? How much can I pay you to blah blah blah? And I'm sure that you probably.
I forward them to my favorite American strongman, Marshall White, and I let them deal with him. He loves those questions.
Marshall's a good guy. I'll see him in a few weeks. So, Mike, thanks for coming on. We really, really do appreciate it. Thanks for taking time away. And I'm sure I'll talk to you before then. But if I don't, for some reason, good luck to you. Worlds here next week. Have fun with Carrie in Southern California. And we'll talk to you soon.
Best of luck, guys. Michael. Kick ass. Thanks. Bring this one home, too.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Bring it home. All right, Mike, thanks a lot. And that's going to wrap it up for this segment. We're going to go to commercial break. We will be right back.
Custom Stacks Nutrition and its team of dedicated fitness professionals are here to help you achieve your fitness, sports, and body transformation goals. Custom Stacks Nutrition offers discount sports supplements, vitamins, and nutritional products to meet the needs of all types of fitness enthusiasts, from weekend warriors to competitive athletes and bodybuilders, and everyone interested in better health. We offer rock-bottom wholesale prices with easy ordering, top-rated service, and super fast shipping. All RX Power Hour listeners get 5% off all orders of $100 or more. Just visit CustomStacksNutrition.com and enter the code POWERHOUR when ordering. Custom Stacks Nutrition, your number one internet discount supplement retailer.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28.
B28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. B28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now, highproteinbread.com. B28 Bread, RX Muscle approved.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop, and also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hey, this is Mike Johnson, and this is the House of Pain contest calendar for September 22nd, 2012. On the strongman side, Pound for Pit Bulls in Bentonville, Arkansas, and the 5th annual New Hampshire Strongest Man in Lebanon, New Hampshire. On the powerlifting side of the house, on September 21st, the NASA Georgia Open Regional in Cartersville, Georgia. On the 22nd, the Raw Mid-Atlantic Region in Zions Crossroads, Virginia. The ADFPF Bill Beckwith Memorial Championship in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Also on the 22nd, the USAPL Iron Wars in San Antonio, Texas. The APA-WPA Northwest Summer's End Championship in Oregon City, Oregon. And then a non-sanctioned show, the Deadlift and Bench Press Reps for Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. Also on the 22nd, the RPS Campus Chaos in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and the USPS 5th Annual Arizona State Championship Meet in Tombstone, Arizona. One more non-sanctioned meet, the Perth Ultimate Fitness Raw Push Pull in Amsterdam, New York. And on September 22nd and 23rd, the Raw United Armed Forces Championship and North American Championship in Tampa, Florida. And on September 23rd, the APF Ohio State Meet in Columbus, Ohio. This has been your House of Pain contest calendar. House of Pain, only the strong survive.
This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back. The RX Per Hour Strength Radio, Brian Hildebrand and Mike Johnston. Mike, you know, it's always great talking to Mike Jenkins because he's just like you, never knows when to shut the fuck up. But B, he's such a talented guy and such a respectable guy. He's humble, he's polite, and I think that he's an incredible face for strongman. And I looking at the groupings and looking at who's there this year, he's definitely top three, assuming he stays healthy, if not winning the whole thing this year.
You know, I got to say, the one thing that struck me is he is very humble. And it's interesting because he's still a work in progress.
Right.
You know, some of these guys you talk to, as soon as they become pro, they become the experts on everything, not even just strongman. Like, they're the political experts, marriage counseling experts, or just a straight expert, and they just became a pro. You know what I mean? They just got their pro card for the first time. But he's still talking about how he's working on his deadlift, you know, and giving real training tips. I mean, I've heard a lot of those things before. I've done a lot of those things before, so I know it's the real deal. He's not just making up some garbage or saying, well, if you buy my product. I mean, he's an earnest fellow, and I think that comes across.
Yep, I completely agree. And it's neat to hear that he's got this, you know, after applying 437,000 times, that he finally has got this gig with the Hershey-sponsored school and helping the underprivileged kids.
I still think I'd be eating the hell out of some chocolate, but that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see if Mike Bloom's up to 500 for the Arnold next year after he starts his new gig. So we'll see. Hey, let's wrap things up here real quick, Mike. Coming up October 20th, and we talked about it last week, and we're going to nail it every week, the Europa Get Fit and Sport Expo in Phoenix, October 20th. Now, I've got an event there, and you've got an event there. I'm sure our paths will cross at some point, but Bros versus Pros 12, Double Trouble. Two events for the men this year, or for this event, and two events for the women. For the men, it's a 315-pound squat, roughly an hour turnaround later, a 315-pound deadlift for repetitions. The women are doing body weight, squat, and reps. All the girls have to weigh in, and weight will be calculated based on their body weight. And then one rep max deadlift. So if you've got any of your strength athletes over there, over in Strongman, that want to come over and take home an easy $500, you can send them over to see us. And the biggest deadlift of the event wins. In Chicago, Eric Lillibridge pulled 800 raw. Was the end of the beginning of July. Derek Poundstone pulled 850 with his ugly Poundstone hitch. But hey, he, you know, no rules, as long as he gets to the standing position, that's all that matters. What do you guys have going on in Phoenix over there?
That'll be the 105 kilogram America's Strongest Man. So the lightweight pros, 231 pound class. And we're also going to have a final qualifier for the Arnold Strongman Fitness World Championship. But this will just be an international qualifier, so the international athletes will be able to come and compete there in Phoenix. So that's going to be pretty exciting. I know we've got groups coming from from Eastern Europe, and then I believe South America as well to compete. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then of course to see the lightweight pros, my strongman brothers out there throwing it around. And I guess I would be considered a Joe, because I might come over there and get involved in that push and that squat deal. That might be fun.
Say that again, Mike.
I might be considered, like, I wouldn't really be a pro. I mean, I could just come over there and do that squat thing, right?
Well, you got to do both of them to take home the cash, $2,000. So,
that's fine. What do you think the number of, well, I mean, 50 on the 315, I'm thinking, would you should win it?
I'm thinking the squat probably 60, and the deadlift probably, well, 55, and the deadlift probably 40. So I think it's going to take some good numbers. And you've got to
have think somebody's going to squat 315 60 times?
I do. And I know the guy that's going to do it. He's 5'1".
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
Well, I want to thanks to our guest, Mr. Incredible Mike Jenkins, and good luck to him at World's Strongest Man. He's leaving Friday with his lovely wife, Carrie. Thank you to Arts Muscles Dave Palumbo and our ever-wonderful Jeff the Producer, Sally Ann Taylor, who does all of our graphics, for Scott Hohag at Custom Specs Nutrition, for House of Pain, and of course, Columbus, Ohio, my co-host Mike Johnston. We will see all of you next week. Next week, hey, I'm really excited about this, actually. He's one of my favorite people. Our guest will be AFC President and all-around badass mama, Mrs. Dionne Wessels. So until then, night, everybody.
This has been the RX Power Hour. Check us out on rxmuscle.com and join in on the discussions.